following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for May 10th, 2020. Happy Mother's Day. This is the show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of how many episodes of podcasting?
2,810.
That's right. We're doing it right here, clip style. My name is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
I crunch numbers.
He crunches numbers, but not only that, he settles hash. And he did it in this episode. You'll hear about it because back in 2017, we'll hear the hash first. There was some hash made between Paul Bryan and Adam Carolla and the movie Cobra.
Over a specific scene with Cobra pulling back up to his house, encountering some vatos, some gang members, or just some nice neighborhood guys who don't like their cars being bumped into by some rude cop. And in the sequence, he grabs the wife-beater t-shirt, the A-shirt of the lead thug, or gentleman in the neighborhood, and while he rips it open, you are exposed to what looks like a wire, but of course it's a lav mic taped to his chest. Paul Bryan and Adam debate this for quite some time over many episodes, including this one, Adam Carolla Show 1999, with David Smalley, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop, February 2017. This is before David joins them. This is just Adam bringing up the movie and doing some live commentary over it before he actually did a basic cable commentary for it, and then did another basic cable commentary for it, and actually toured around doing live basic cable commentary for Cobra. Check it out.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the program. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate that. That's the way we stay in business. That's the way we creep up on 2,000 shows is because of you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan, there is no God. Yep. I'm God.
Well, that should make for quite a debate.
Lively.
You and David Smalley.
Yeah, he's an atheist, and we'll talk a little about dogma and all the other religions, and not that dogma's a religion. And we'll do all that, and we'll have that coming up.
Dogma's a good little movie.
Oh, yeah. Forgot
Kevin
about
Smith
that.
Film, 1999.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, don't watch it. Okay, now, but watch Cobra.
Cobretti.
Cobretti. So, couple things. I was thinking to myself about all those things we had when we were kids, which are no longer acceptable anymore. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, and also was wondering, if kids today know this song. And you go, well, what about this or what about that? But we all knew about Rod Stewart having a stomach pump for some reason before the internet. I have friends who went to school in Vermont who knew about the song in the seventh grade or knew about the story in the seventh grade. And my kids do the Jingle Bells, Batman Fells, Robin Hood. I don't know where, I don't know how this thing works, but it
survived.
It passes down.
You guys tell me if you had this one. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You got it? Yeah, go ahead.
Teacher hit me with a ruler.
Never once.
Hid behind the door with a loaded 44. And the teacher.
The teacher don't teach no more, basically.
Wow.
Do you know the second verse?
Would that not. Hold on a second. Something to do with the ethnic cleansing? This would not go over well today.
No.
You hiding behind the door with a loaded 44 and the teacher don't teach no more. On the other hand, who cares? Because we all sung it. It did not. There was nobody I knew went, hey, because of that song.
I have an idea.
Yeah, it's either that or I got to get the guy who played Robin to fart.
Right. Either way, we're accomplishing goals.
Yeah, kids can discern the difference between the sort of fantasy and the actually hiding behind the door with a loaded gun and killing people.
It's not a manifesto, it's a jingle.
And by the way, if you can't, that child shall have an issue.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that. But no, what was the second verse, Dawson?
Glory, glory to the burning of the school. We have tortured every teacher.
We have broken every rule.
Wow. Yeah,
today after school, we're going to hang the principal.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about the last line, but we always sang, and the cops are after us.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, but I get it.
Right. It would be.
I was just thinking.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Dawson, I know that song. You guys don't.
No, I don't think
Never
so.
Never once.
All right, so that one
And Dawson and I are from about the same
it's
area.
It's part of the Bay and most of the Midwest.
The Batmobile losing a wheel and the Robin farting.
Yeah, that, the Joker got away.
That endures.
Yes.
But hiding behind the door with the loaded 44.
Oh, never once.
Makes sense.
Hmm.
Okay. Jim, oh, okay. Oh, we doing what can Adam complain about?
In the meantime.
Oh, okay. I will say this. So, Gary, I don't know how long that video that Rob sent you is, but you can figure it out. I'll talk about that in a second.
How about Miss Susie had a steamboat?
Hmm?
Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The steamboat went to hello, operator.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. That's like a grandparent song.
Yeah, I thought my grandfather did sing that song.
Oh, wow.
We had there's a version of that song, there's always a version of that song. There was a Dr. Demento version of that song, but it wasn't the steamboat or whatever, but it was just... Why would the steamboat go? What?
Have a bell?
I get you need something that rhymes with hell, but do we have to give you an entire paddle boat for this? And how many young females owned paddle boats?
Just Miss Susie.
It's like had a steamboat. It's a weird thing. Like, how about had a bicycle? The bicycle had a bell. And also, it's weird to see, you know, large items going to hell. Okay.
Yeah. Did you guys have the vulgar version of Hello Mother, Hello Father? Hello Mother.
Camp Granada?
Hello Father. Greetings from Camp Marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Coke is good here.
Yeah.
Crack is better.
I'm so effed up, I can barely write this letter.
You know, it's weird.
That made it.
My Scholastic.
Dawson says no. We're on different schedules on this. Something's out of the Bay.
My Scholastic career was ahead of that. We didn't have crack. It wasn't a deal when
I
was in
Ludes when you were.
We're more into Ludes.
I only remember the thing to that tune for the laundry detergent.
Oh.
Greetings from Camp Hiawatha. Oh. Swimming's good here, but this place is not like home. I miss your nice fresh pillowcases.
I love it. I love what's stuck in everyone's head. Yeah,
Richard Gere was our generation.
Yeah, with the
I was post. I was post. Quaaludes, but pre-crack.
Okay.
There's a good span there of about 15, 20 years of Quaaludes had gone out by the mid-70s.
Right.
They were kind of done. And then the crack really kicked in the 80s.
Yeah.
And there was a span of about a good decade in there where there was nothing really going on.
I saw the Wolf of Wall Street, and they were going pretty strong in the early 80s, those Quaaludes.
No, they had held on to those.
Were they not being sold anymore?
Correct.
Oh, there was a holdover.
Yes, that was an integral part of the scene.
You may want to use
they thought
your
lost
three.
Potency.
Yeah, but stills have issued you for 2017.
You know what? It's almost February. I made it this far. Yeah, but still.
There you go. Thank you, Gina.
Yeah.
All right. Normally, I just have to go and drink and shame when Brian does that. But all right.
I base all my drug history off of Martin Scorsese movies.
I wanted to couple of things. I'm going to give you. You guys are going to enjoy this. Somebody, I'm obsessed with the movie Cobra.
Right.
Now it's a new obsession. My kids have taken a backseat to Cobra. He did, he had this scene. It's possible to make a movie, especially 80s movie, but you can do it today, out of 22 little pieces from other movies that have been done a million times. You can do it with a sitcom.
Yeah.
I would argue that Hell or High Water is that movie for today, but a good version of it. But this was that version of, there's this great scene. Oh, 15 minutes in. He's pulling his custom car up to the beach. By the way, no one has any regard for their custom cars in movies. Like, it's his baby, but he just leaves it out on the curb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before he leaves it on the curb, he provokes a whole lot of cholos. So the cholos, the Mexican cholo lowrider guys are just sitting in the car doing what they do in movies, which is nothing. Waiting to be up to no. Yeah. But they're just sitting like, hey, Holmes. You know, it's the 80s where they did the top button on the flannel shirt and had the hairnet on.
Yeah.
And like, hey, Holmes. And they just sat around doing nothing. Like, it's quietly very racist because all these movies had black people and Hispanic guys hanging and doing just nothing. Just like sitting on a corner like, hey, man, what are you doing? And like almost waiting for the guy just to walk up to him. But they'd just be hanging out all the time.
They're on call for bad behavior. Yeah. They're on retainer for bad behavior.
So they're all just sitting in their lowered Chevy and they're all doing the hangout thing. And Stallone does the move where he pulls up in his car and he's like, how about you clear it out of here and move forward? And they're like, screw you, Holmes. And he's like, all right. And then just mashes them and pushes them forward and he gets out of his car.
They hate that.
And the guy gets out of the car and he's like, hey, Holmes. And I'm like, Holmes, what'd you? And Stallone just tears his shirt all the way down the front and looks at him and walks to his apartment. And for some reason, that gets their attention or something. Yeah. There's a weird thing, which is the guy in the boots with the reflective sunglasses and the athletic build with the magic. For some reason, I have no problem getting in that guy's face. When that guy then does a gesture or move, now I've completely turned around on him and I'm now fearful of him. But I feel like I can see. I can have fear when the guy's getting out of the car. Right. He doesn't have to come up and tear my shirt in half. Part. But the guy tore
Hulk Hogan style.
The guy went on a wife beater, went Hulk Hogan, went all the way down, and then the thing flapped open. And then I watched this guy who had more dialogue after that with a lav mic taped to his chest.
What?
Just a wire and a lav mic where he's like, hey, Holmes, Holmes. And it was like, yeah, your mic is taped your chest, and that's where they put it, except for when you tear shirts all the way down, you would then boom mic it or something.
Yeah, that was my question. Where's the boom
mic?
That is gross. Negligence.
It is.
All of the continuity money went to Stallone's salary.
Yeah. $13 million, and he wrote it, and it is horrifically bad. But anyway.
We should have a screening.
You can look for that. We should work on that.
Maybe Phil Rosenthal will host it.
I will tell you.
Today's movie is Cobra.
Oh, you know what he should do? Instead of doing a super high-end mozza pizza baked in his brick oven with this oak log in his kitchen, twice a year, Phil Rosenthal, movie night, should be bad ironic movie, and the pizza is Pizza Hut stuffed crust, Hawaiian style. You just get the worst pizza out there.
And not hot, ordered at noon.
Yeah. Go right along. Just everything's going to be bad. Yeah. Everything's bad.
Oh, wow.
It's a bad night.
Phil, you listening?
I love this idea. Ironic. And again, that's what you do with F me money. All right. Gary.
Yeah.
Do you have the tape that Rob sent? I must say that we fired up.
I do have it. I'm a little worried based on your explanation to me. This video starts with it already running.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Hey, cool. He didn't get the greatest job of it. It's Paul Newman's, the car he drove and won the GT1 championship in 1985, which has not been started on the track or anywhere for 42 years or whatever, 32 years, whatever it's been.
And this is just 100 feet from here at your other studio.
Yes, we finally, after years of painstaking nut and bolt restoration, we put the thing back together and we fired it up. You can get it at adamcarolla.com. Rob just pulled out his phone. I told him just grab it and just fired it up so we can hear it. There's nothing
purrs like a kitten.
I want my kids to know more about
smoking
now.
Kitten.
You gotta understand that car idles at, I don't know, that was 1,000 RPMs, 1,100 RPMs. When you get that car up to 8,000 RPMs, it sounds like it's a bomb that blew up. It would freak you out. If I just got in and hit the accelerator a couple times, you'd freak out. But what I would like to give to my children is the ability to take something that is a mess, get a whole bunch of smart people together, and then over the course of a long period of time, painstakingly take everything off, fix everything, straighten everything, powder coat everything, rebuild everything, and put it all back, and then fire it up and go race that thing that had not moved under its own power in 30-something years.
That's a waste of my time.
Sonny, that is the greatest gift I could give you and all you would need to excel in life. Nonstop conversation about family and socioeconomic and teach and all this.
It's
all fine. But this one thing, I could guarantee your success if that's what you had versus the it's been up on blocks, raccoons screwing in the back seat, and it's been sitting there for 10 years.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
Yes, Sonny, I'm not.
You know what this takes that I think a lot of us lack? Vision. The long game. You know, that you're thinking, wait, what do I have to do? How would I even go about that?
I was one of you. And because
sound like a carnival barker.
I was one of you.
Step right up.
Well, because my mom is that, and many people in my family are that, and the way it works is this. You sit down and you lay down on the table. You go, what are we doing here? And we got this car. All right, I'm looking at it. It's covered dust and cobwebs. Everything's a mess. Every single part's a mess. Yeah. What are we going to do? We're going to take every single part off of this car. And someone goes, that sounds like a lot of work. And you go, yeah, that will be a lot of work, but that's not a tenth of it. What are we going to do then? Every single hose, every single fitting, everything. Everything's going to need to be rebuilt. The engine's going to be the brake calipers. Everything on this car is going to be completely rebuilt. And some of it's bespoke, so some of it we're going to have to just make. They won't be able to go to the auto parts place and get this. We have to make this stuff. We'll do every single part. We're going to get it all rebuilt, and we're going to put the whole thing back. We'll put it all back. We'll repaint it. We'll do everything, and then we'll go out and run the car. And if you're wired like my mom, you go, that's going to take, I don't know, 2 years and cost how much? And I don't think so. Yeah. You can only do that if you've done it before in a smaller version of that before. These things, and it's not that you are a different human being. It's that if you've done the kind of construction projects I've done, then redoing your bathroom is somewhere under a 3 to me. It's just no big deal. It could be overwhelming if you're somebody else because you don't have that experience. Writing a book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a Sisyphean effort of pushing a boulder up a hill forever.
Gets so much easier on your next one, and then your next one gets easier than that. Why? Because you're smarter whatever. I don't know what it is. It's just once you've done this, you can do that. Writing a book, rebuilding a car, rebuilding a house, anything that has a beginning, middle, and end, documentary, whatever it is, the more things you can do that have a beginning, middle, and end that you can go easily, you can sit back and go, first thing you get is how quickly time passes. Mm-hmm. The people that sit and lament all the time, about, well, it's going to take 2 years. You'll blink your eyes. You'll be done with that. I mean, your book came out when?
Oh, Christ, let's say it was middle of 2014.
That's when it came out.
Yeah.
I know. Insane, right?
Yeah.
It's been 3 years almost.
Let's just say it was. Maybe it was 2013.
It's farther back than that.
Okay, 2013, whatever it was. Yeah. The lead up felt like it was so damn long. The writing it, the editing it, the doing everything for it, the reading for the audiobook, every little thing was so daunting at the time. Yeah.
This says middle of 2015.
All right.
Christ. The point is, it was a while ago.
Right. But leading into it.
That was the paperback, I think, Gary.
Could be. Sorry.
That's how Gary makes his bones. All right. So you need the experience of beginning, middle, and end. Once you have that experience, and once you surround yourself with people who have that experience, then everything is no big whoop.
And that was Adam and Brian getting into a little debate over the Stallone classic, Cobra.
The only movie that has two different basic cable commentaries.
See?
Once wasn't enough for Adam to eviscerate.
You know, he could do it again, too, if he wanted. He might. He still talks about it. But anyway, Gio, you heard that show. And
all the other shows. It was bothering me. And then it was still continuing on for months. So all the way to Adam Carolla Show 2095. Up until this point, like, you know, 10 days prior, they brought up the argument again. And then Brian mentioned something about a DVD. And we get into it in the clip. You guys have probably heard this one before. But with the proper context of the first clip, it actually makes it much more entertaining. And recently, Adam and Brian have brought up that Marshall McLuhan thing from the Woody Allen movie, where he's talking about the movie. He's like, sir, you know nothing of my work. And they always bring that up, and they forget to bring up this moment where somebody actually did that to them, their dream. I did it. Check it out.
All right, Giovanni. Super fan, Giovanni. Giovanni?
Gina, Brian, Damashek, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
I have a clip. I think Gary has it for you.
Yep, let's play it, and then Gio can explain.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is George Kosmatz, director of Cobra, and this is the Warner Brothers logo, which I love. They should never have changed before. This is like the old good old days. Here's the movie.
The director.
Director's commentary.
Oh, here we go. Here
oh, we have the scene.
Miami Sound Machine with Gloria Estefan. Nice feeling of the beach, Venice. Establishing shot.
Pulling up his Merc behind the lowrider.
Essay!
I always felt that he should live on the beach. We found this interesting building where they shot the movie called The Falcon and the Snowman.
Oh, Sean Penn. Wow.
John Schlesinger's film. And that's where we had Sly live in. As Cobra, I mean. If you look this carefully here, it was a mistake. Well, we didn't have enough coverage. When he pulls his shirt off and tears it off, you can see the mic. But very few people see that. Unless I tell you so. Here it is.
Hold on. Stop it for a second. I can't go on any further. I hired Antonio Banderas to record this scratch track and lay it over the movie. If there is no actual director.
He couldn't live with himself.
It's Cobra.
I'm furious. But I'm a little impressed.
Antonio's really not working nearly. Like, these guys are much more accessible than you'd think.
I assumed he was ungettable for this kind of low.
He had time in between Flonase B commercials.
Admittedly, low-scale projects.
Melanie put him right on the blower. Like,
you
literally.
You talked to his wife?
Well,
whoever picked the phone.
I thought it was her. She picked up the phone, and he didn't do it that afternoon, but, I mean, it was practically that afternoon.
That
sorry.
Sorry,
rewind a little. And just, but it's funny now picturing Antonio Banderas. So I was trying to keep a straight face, but I
coverage. When he pulls his shirt off and tears it off, you can see the mic. But very few people see notice that, unless I tell you so. Here it is. One. Here. You may think it's some pendant or something, but it's the mic.
Oh, what? There. Nobody would know. That, yeah.
These are the lowriders.
Now, see, one of the original passes that Antonio did, he's like, you would have to be a bald douchebag to think of any other show. And I was like, I slept on it.
Yeah, I'm shocked you didn't go with that take. Yeah.
Well,
I
know I thought about it, but I also know you're a pretty shrewd cat and that if it got too specific,
he put
that in the actual director's commentary from 1988.
What
come
are the
on.
Chances?
What kind of bald retard?
So back then, it
we don't
quite
even
a,
have a word for retard.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Spanish.
Back then you can say.
Are we
that.
Not gonna watch Cobra now?
We would call it kicked in the head by a donkey.
Gio, where'd you find that?
Well, it was a long process. I've been obsessed with this Cobra thing for like over a decade. When I read this old internet think piece on it and how it was edited and the gut of the movie, and I've been searching for a work print which I've never been able to find. And I had the DVD. I never thought there was a commentary. And then last Thursday's episode, which aired Friday, I believe, with Vinny. Brian dared some fan of the show to find it, and I had already ordered the Blu-ray again, so it was on its way here. So I was trying to cut it. And long story short, I had to find a video file, rip the commentary, and I had to resync it by hand by measuring the mouths and when the words came out so I could put it back in the footage so then Brian couldn't claim shenanigans.
It takes a big man. I was wrong, and the satisfaction of knowing the answer is so much better than the thinking I may be onto something here. I'm glad we know the answer.
Right.
It took me 12 hours.
Although I knew the answer.
You did. Now,
from when I watched it. But now I know the answer. That's my satisfaction, not me knowing the answer.
100% on board.
All right. Hey, Giovanni, that was nice. And who knew he would even cover that part?
Yeah.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I put the Blu-ray in, and I'm like, I've never watched this a decade ago. And then, 10 minutes in, when the scene comes on, he's like, nobody really notices. I'm like, holy shit.
That's the best part. The drum's like, no one notices. It's in three shots.
Is there
one side note? My only hope is Brian takes him saying Cobra and makes that a drop for every time you bring up Cobra. I know you can't force the drops, but I think it'll work.
I
think you've earned it,
Shaq. You'll be happy to know that 1 week ago I was sitting with Sly for 3 hours at a party, much closer than you and I are. He punched me in the shoulder. The over under was 71 times. All we talked was boxing and Cobra.
Holy and hell. No, I'm not happy to learn it because I wasn't there.
It was awesome.
I can't.
And Vin Diesel, who Adam had introduced himself to despite him doing Loveline for 2 hours 17 years ago.
All right. Well, I forgot about that.
We had hair. He looked like a different guy.
Thank you, Giovanni.
Never call again.
You're welcome.
That was awesome. What the? You know, this is. This is was it that Marshall McLuhan thing with Woody Allen?
Annie Hall.
Yeah, where he was like tapped him on the shoulder and went like, "Sir, you clearly know nothing about my work."
Don't you wish Marshall McLuhan was right here, right now? Pulled into frame.
It was a great, funny Woody Allen aside, but that was about as satisfying as you could ever have, and an argument that would have spun off into outer space, and that our kids would have to continue long after we were gone.
Sonny and McCoy,
Sonny and Tessa are in each other's face, poking them in the chest.
And that clip from 2017, with the help of Geo.
Yep, and next time if they don't bring me up with the McEwen thing, I'm actually going to dig up George P. Cosmatos, and I'm going to bring him in the studio if I have to.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the next move.
I'm not sure his son will be happy about it, but he did direct Mandy, so maybe it'll be cool.
Yeah. All right, this next clip is a listener request, and if you want to request a clip, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or you can tweet us, @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media places. Are you on TikTok yet, Gio?
Oh, no, Chinese spyware.
Okay, yeah, we're not on TikTok yet, so don't request any clips on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But Steven suggested a clip, and what did he write?
Steven wanted, he was in the audience for Caroline's appearance. He thought it was back in 2011. It's actually 2012. He says he's a little biased because he wants to ask for the show he was at to help him remember. He knows Wyatt Cenac was the guest. Wyatt Cenac was on Adam Carolla Show 848 from June of 2012 when you guys were in New York at Caroline's running these shows. I think this is the trip where I got rubella and almost died.
That's the
had
one.
To come home,
yeah.
Come home early. But this is a great episode. This is an awkward moment that made its way into the Ace Awards, which is what we've played before, is Ace Awards. Featuring this clip. We haven't actually played this episode at all. It's a great episode. Why it's hilarious, and he rolls with the awkward moment perfectly. I have no idea what he did off stage, but on stage he made it extra hilarious. Check it out.
Wyatt, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Wyatt's got a little bit of the, if you saw Planet of the Apes, now hold on a second, I'm not going there. Not
I don't
going
like
there.
Where this is
no,
going.
No, I know. It seems, it's hard to get into this, in it, but it's going to get better.
I don't know if it is.
There was a black astronaut. One of the black astronauts. Actually, they only had one. But they had the one black astronaut. You got a little of that going for you.
Okay.
It's a good thing.
All right. I thought this was supposed to be better.
Yeah. No, we had the beard. It's got a little of that. I didn't grow the hair out, but I think the helmet may have pushed the fro down.
Right.
Just a little bit.
So you're saying I got a little bit of like a guy who would have been dominated by the apes kind of a thing. Because I'm assuming if only Charlton Heston's the guy who the movie's about, everybody else dies.
You did not see Planet of the Apes?
I did, but it was like a long time ago.
Yeah, you're right. Listen.
I saw it in the theaters.
Really? You're not that old.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
I'm 70?
Yeah, saying white... I cannot judge the age of black people.
Exactly.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. How old am I?
You could be 19. You could be 59. I don't know. That's my point. White guy, I'll get it down to the week. I'll go like, you're 41, 7 months, and 22 days? And it'll be like 21 days, but good enough.
Did you pay your way through school as like a carnival guy? Like just
guessing
the ages of white
people's
guys?
Ages, yeah.
That is a great way to pay your way through school.
Yeah, no. Let's say I know this guy's 27 and a half right here. I can tell you that right now.
See,
don't bullshit a bullshitter, dude. We were laughing about that on the podcast the other day. Really? It makes me a bullshitter, too. I don't think that's complimentary. Wait, how old are you then? 33? Yeah, you haven't been in the sun much. Are you a Marine, or you just wear your hair in a way that's super unattractive that makes it seem like somebody gave you a haircut in a rush? Or is that, you cut your own hair? Or, you're not in the military? No? Cop? You're a cop?
Wait, oh, okay. Basically.
Basically, I like.
What is basically a cop?
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, okay.
He's a court officer.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. That's still a cop.
It's good. Yeah. It's good for when you pull chicks over. And listen, let's not get caught up in semantics here. I'm cop
basically.
Enough.
Basically.
First off, let me ask the questions. I ask how fast you're going. I'm basically a cop. Need you to go ahead and get out of the car for me right now. Okay. Right now. So wait a minute. You do what? You're basically a cop that does what? Quarter officer?
Court officer.
A court officer. Oh, yes. You're the guy who stands there with the face that doesn't judge.
So like a bailiff.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
you're
right. But if somebody gets frisky and tries to go over that, by the way, that's not much of a rail. You almost ask, oh, my grandfather could make it over that thing. I feel like they should have a, Blues Brother have the chicken wire up there. But
yeah.
So you now where do you who's, well, first off, like, who's more important, you or the stenographer? And do stenographers ever talk? I don't feel like they ever talk. So you never hit up a stenographer, right? No.
And are they not allowed to look at what they're typing?
Yeah.
Because they're always like this. Like,
yeah, why don't you fucking look down? Quit fucking showing off.
Yeah.
I don't like that thing. Jugglers do the same thing. Look at me. I'm juggling, but I'm not even looking.
Right.
I can do what you can't do without even looking. Yeah, I want to see you focus a little on that thing.
Exactly. What are they thinking about?
Yeah. They're thinking about anything but what they're doing.
Good job, buddy.
That is the...
She's thinking about sex.
Yeah, that's one of the homeliest gigs ever, the court stenographer.
Yeah.
And by the way, we don't need the word court put in front of it. What are you, a car stenographer? Yeah, I work at the Oldsmobile dealership. We understand. You do your work in a court.
No, I'm a dental stenographer.
Yeah, I hang out.
I keep track.
Don't mind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just be here when you get your teeth straight.
Now, is there one key for each tooth?
Yeah.
It's one key for each tooth. And then if we're getting into like cavities, I got to bring out a whole separate machine for that.
I'd be the world's shittiest stenographer because I'd probably just sit there the whole time. And then at the end, I'd go, let me give you the gist of what went on here.
Well, but hold on. Here's my question for you. At this point, with technology, what it is, why can't you just replace a court stenographer with a tape recorder?
Yeah.
Like... That's one less person that you have to worry about protecting.
Stenographer's local 46 would like a word with you.
Oh.
And when you're in line at the cafeteria and one of the stenographers cuts in front of you, you just go, hey, bitch, I got an iPhone that can fucking put you out of business. So how about you fucking get back there? There's enough ambrosia salad at the end, then there's enough, but you fucking rough it. It's the weirdest thing in the world because, yes, we can't just record anyone with an iPhone can just record what's going on in there, so we don't need the stenographer. And then the worst part is we also have a guy drawing pictures. You know, the guy from Disneyland?
But he's got a skill. He's got a skill.
We have a camera.
Right. But this is about at least just giving some art to this.
But
so that in a world where like somebody's being tried for an awful murder, you at least bring a sense of beauty to it.
But how does it...
Then why not draw them like Picasso's with two eyes on the side of their face?
Flare. Well, how about this? Or do it like the guy at Knott's Berry Farm. Like put them on a skateboard with hearts coming out of their head. And
what's something
women
you like to do?
Them, you know what I mean?
Or maybe like, what's something like to do? And they just draw him, giant head, little feet, and a gun.
Uh-huh. So not only are you into killing prostitutes, but you like wakeboarding? Okay, let's see what we can do here. Yeah, okay, I can draw that.
And then if you go to jail, they give you your picture so you can hang it up.
There you go. Sign that. Yeah, blow on it, then I'll hit it with a little clear coat and let it set up. So, but the thing that's always weird about the courtroom, maybe you can explain this, they go, all right, listen, we banned cameras from the courtroom, but we do have this one dude who can draw super good, and he's going to draw everything the camera would have seen if he wasn't here. Do you think that would work with your wife? Like, listen, I want to film us having sex. No. All right. But here's my friend Gerald. He can draw like a son of a bitch. So we're just going to set up his easel next to the futon. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the good side of my balls, Gerald? Or... come on, I've not put on that much weight. Let me have a look at that. Oh, come on now. Why, if you're going to have a guy drawing everything that takes place in the court, put a fucking camera up. And okay, you agree. But you just sit there. And what happens like if you have to fart? You got to hold it in.
Wait. That's a rule?
Yeah.
When you went to basically a cop school,
they
talked you through holding in your farts in court?
Otherwise, the guy who's doing the court drawing draws a little poof behind you, like a little cloud.
Strike that from the record. That's what you'd say.
But isn't that just like a basic etiquette rule? Like, I don't know if you necessarily need to learn that.
In court?
Well, yeah. I think just in life. I think if you work a job in a cubicle that you share with somebody, I think you probably just as general etiquette, you don't let fly.
At the beginning, you don't.
Really, there's a point where it just...
Oh, yeah.
Well, just let, but burnout. I feel like in terms of there's a pecking order for fart jobs. Like elevator operator, no can do. That's right. Not, that's on the application.
Yeah.
All right, but lifeguard, no big deal, right? You got 20 miles an hour coming offshore.
Especially if you're sitting up on the thing.
Yeah.
They'd just be like, is that a smelly bird shit nearby?
Yeah, yeah. And, but the whole ocean smells like a fart anyway.
But I'm also saying, like, if you work as, like if you work in a big corporation, if you're a secretary, you probably can't get away with farting, like... The CEO could fart all he wants or she wants, but secretary, you got to hold that in all day. Then you get to like the parking garage and you're just like, and just let fly like 8 hours worth of fart.
Wyatt, I feel like you should be the voice of the Occupy movement. You could get all like proud and black and go like, secretary in a cubicle, that's a no fart zone. Okay, if you're part of the 99% that cannot fart. Yeah, but the boss man,
right.
Oh, he's tooting away with his golden brown parachute. Nothing can ever happen to him. Yeah, it's true. I think it's a given that you shouldn't fart at work, but like when I was a construction worker, you could fart on people. Like it wasn't any big whoop. That was, you know, was encouraged. But as Rusty over here, you couldn't do that. And so you just sit there. Now you have a gun and you have the pepper spray. And I have this theory, by the way, and maybe it's unpopular, but I don't know. They always say, like, cops have the high suicide rate. Mm. If you gave me a gun, I'd kill myself. Like, if somebody...
That's all that's standing between you and suicide?
If I was...
Access to a gun?
If I had a gun and I was, like, fucking stuck in traffic, and I heard, like, Maneater come on the radio, and I'm like, ugh... And I saw some sign that said click it or ticket, but the guy wasn't turning right, even though he could, even though it was red, he wasn't aware. I'd be like, oh, fuck it, I'm eating a bullet.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I just like that it's just traffic. Just traffic.
Well, that's all it takes.
Oh, I'm not going to get there on time.
I would probably go out and eat a... You know what I would do? I wouldn't kill myself on an empty stomach. Like, I'd go out and eat fondue or something rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then take myself out. You wouldn't want just like a granola
bar
in you.
No, carbo load, first of all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, all the things that I don't do in my daily life, I did, the last meal.
So I'd have some deep fried Snickers bars, and then I'd lead load, as I call it, by the way, when I'm killing myself.
Yes. I think I would go to like a show, like whether it's a Broadway show or a sporting event, and then go and do it there so they think it was their fault.
Oh.
Like... Yeah. So that way, like the Knicks, like if I did it at like a Knicks game, they'd be like, "Oh, maybe that Carmelo trade was a bad idea."
Yeah, that's fucking diabolical.
Yeah,
send a message.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, someone's got to do that with this upcoming Sandler movie. Someone's got to go out to the parking lot. Someone's got to stop this man. I feel like this is the way. If we could feel, you know, leave a note saying, I showed up in perfectly good spirits.
P.S. I didn't get this idea at an Adam Carolla show. Make sure to add that.
Yeah, on the way out, I heard they're making grown-ups too on the way out, and I just said I couldn't fucking take it anymore. That's when I put the bullet in my mouth. All right. We weren't even planning on talking about this, were we? All right.
No.
So, give us, you got a good case? You have anything that's, you know, is something that's infamous, something that we've heard of, something... The cop that got arrested, one of your own. Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Uh-huh.
Basically one of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to have IAB investigate? Because I've watched Law & Order SVU.
Yeah, Internal Affairs, yeah.
No?
You worked what?
Oh, the Dominique Strauss-Kahn thing.
Okay. Listen, I'm from North Hollywood. We had the North Hollywood bank robbery. That's about it. All right.
Wait, you were on the news?
Yeah, didn't you see the picture the guy drew? He was standing there, motionless, not judging.
Well, no, but the way he said, like, he was on, like, you were, again, basically should be how you start every sentence. You were basically on the news because you were in the background.
Holding in a fart.
You know, you really, wow. There's a picture of you. Oh, sure. I'm sure you're stopped in the streets by all the young girls asked for your autograph. Hey, isn't that the guy who stood like a statue while that guy was being arraigned? Listen, you know what you need to do? I know you can't talk. Like, you'll get shit canned if you start talking. But you could raise an eyebrow. It could do that. You know that Robert De Niro move? Where it's like, not so much. You know, when the guy's giving his expert testimony, you know, just yeah. A little something. Like, give me a break. Come on. All right. Where the hell were we? Oh, yes, yes. Allison saw her therapist.
I'm regretting telling you what I did today in a truthful manner.
Yes,
as opposed
yes.
to some fantastic lie. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so anyway, I used to live in New York, and mm-hmm. Like all New Yorkers should, at least, I went to a therapist when I was here. Mm-hmm. And so now on my annual trip to New York, I try to squeeze in a visit with my therapist.
Uh-huh.
And today, just because of the way the day shook out, she just came and talked to me at the
hotel.
Yeah, I was like, and I thought, I'm like some fantastic starlet who's having a meltdown, except I'm not a starlet and I'm not having a meltdown, but this mm-hmm. is happening in my hotel room. It's very mm-hmm. glamorous.
I think that's for your therapist to decide whether or not you're having a meltdown.
What do you hang on the doorknob? Make up my psyche? Or what is the do not disturb? How's it? And let me say this about those fucking things you hang on the... all right. They give you the stupid handle, right? I got the handle. I don't have a knob. I have the handle. It's like a shower bar. And then they have that thing. They're getting cute, you know, like, not now.
Right.
I'm in the middle of something, or maybe next time. I'll have... By the way, you could just do red and green. That would be fine with me. Or show a towel covered with jizz. That would be the... Come on in. But they do the thing, and the way the thing's situated, that if you open it, it'll float around and go
yes,
the other way on
yeah.
you. Like, it doesn't it doesn't
it
stay where it is.
And then it sends mixed messages.
Right, yeah,
I
absolutely.
Don't like that.
All right, so your therapist
right.
came to your,
yeah,
came
well,
to your
so
room.
Yeah, well, so here's the problem, though.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't seen her in a year.
Do they charge extra if they come out?
She didn't, know.
Oh, she didn't, okay.
No, but so I haven't seen her in a year. So first of all, I didn't know what of my... Like, how do you figure out what the hell to talk about?
Uh-huh. Did she start off with, boy, someone's put some weight on? No, not that she has, but that would be the worst therapist in the world.
I wish she made that joke before she came over.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
Okay, sorry. So she came to the room. No,
I know.
It'd be bad.
It's touching on my issues. No problem, Adam. So anyway. Yeah, so no, here's the thing, though. So because it's been a year, I said to her... So how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And she fucking answered honestly.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we're on the clock.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, she gave me a really lengthy discussion of what's going on in her life.
And you both just sit on the edge of the bed? Or where do you... Can you have the TV
it started
on?
No, the TV was off. It started out with she sat in the desk chair and I was sitting on the bed and I felt like that was weird.
Yeah.
So then I switched to that... armchair that they put in a hotel room 1 inch away from the side of the bed.
Right.
This is like, no, in case you're going to have a very uncomfortable
party. Yeah, just throw
party.
Your dirty shit on there. It becomes like a leather hamper. Yeah.
That, exactly. So I'd do
the thing where I'd be like, listen, I can't be in a hotel room without either beating off or watching TV. It's a rule. It's a, you know, I'm not a religious person, but if I had a religion, that would be part of the tenets of the religion.
Right.
So...
That's the book you would leave in the nightstand.
I'm going to turn on SportsCenter. I'm going to turn it down. You know what I mean?
Right.
But just go ahead. Just go. Let's just go, and I'll just kind of, you know, it'll be on in the background. No big whoop. I'm not paying for the electricity. It's fine.
Right.
So did they give you a whole hour?
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole hour.
Yeah. I think it went over a little bit even.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And they came out to you.
Yep. Well, it's not like a whole group of them. It's just one woman.
Right. So you don't take a troop of therapists to come out.
No, there's not a team.
Wow. I like it. And then what do? Do you pay out right then or you put it on a tab?
Yeah.
Or?
No. I like that.
The tab.
Do they? Are there therapists that have a tab?
I think you could start a tab at the therapist bar.
And then could it be like, this one's from the gentleman down there?
Yes.
I would like someone to send me a session.
Yeah, and or you could be overserved and cut off way too much. You're blaming your parents way too much. We got to call you a cab.
I feel like Dr. Drew, a man I love, insinuated that on the podcast recently.
That
I need to get past blaming my parents for stuff, which is very true, but come on.
Whatever.
Now, when
you talked about that with her.
When you paid your therapist, did you... do it, did you write a check, or did you leave money on the dresser?
Yeah,
just to be like
a whore.
Your money's on the dresser, get out!
Yeah.
I'm done with you!
Yeah, that's right.
I just wrote a check.
I blame my parents. You blame your parents. Why, you blame your parent? Sorry, that was racist. Your aunt, sorry. Your grandmama, whoever you have. Did you have two parents?
It's sad because it's true.
Wow. You got to get over blaming your parent. Wow. Single dad, the same old story.
He did the best he could.
That was horrible and racist, but true. So what? Was mom doing the raising?
Yeah, and she got remarried, so it wasn't total.
Okay. Yeah, it
wasn't a total loss.
Right. And he came in early to make enough to make a difference.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember when, because I was tiny.
Now, your biological dad, after he saw you on The Daily Show, not that black people watch The Daily Show, but what I'm saying, like, if he was in a bar or something where they showed The Daily Show and he saw his son on there, would he try to, reconnect,
Well, he's dead.
Oh, okay. This is going great.
To make it dark.
This is why.
Way to make it dark, Carolla.
Yeah, this is why they do a pre-interview on most shows. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no, it's been a long time.
Yeah, okay, listen, sickle cell's a fucking terror. It's a bitch. It's a scourge is what it is. It's what it is. And again, I don't stereotype.
It seems like you just did.
I'm sorry. It's a late show. I'm getting a little punchy. All right, but Dad,
no.
Was he around long enough? Did he see you have success doing stand-up or anything like that?
No. He was killed in 81.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's why horrible. Did you do it?
No, I don't have any. This guy may have been standing by while the guy was arraigned, though.
He might be in the photo.
Wow,
of
that's
the
horrible.
Yeah.
Is stepdad all right? Please tell me.
What'd you say? Porno bomber? Photo bomber. Oh, okay.
Is stepdad around? Can he enjoy your success?
I guess so. Sure.
From heaven?
He's still alive.
Okay, all right, good. All right, good.
No, my mom's not like a black widow.
Okay. Good.
She doesn't like...
But he enjoys your success.
I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't? Or is he one of those assholes like, I saw your skit. It was cute.
No, we don't talk. We don't talk much.
You don't talk?
No, we don't really talk
much. Sad. I don't talk to my stepdad either. All right.
I'm going to send my therapist to Wyatt.
Yeah, you really should. Yeah.
There's going to be somebody who shows up to my office one day.
Yeah.
Allison sent me?
Well, listen, you can get like a strip-a-gram, right? Like you send a stripper over there.
This is a head shrink-a-gram.
You can send like an edible arrangeable.
So
like you can buy someone a spa day, right?
That would be great. Like if you were to break up with somebody and you the whole time thought, oh, that person has serious problems.
Right.
And then you could send them a therapist. And at first they're like, what the fuck is this? And then they're like, well, you know, when you really get down to the core of it, the problem is me.
Right. And they'd all drive like Mini Coopers, and we call them Shrink Squad.
I like that.
And they go all around.
It's so good.
Yeah, why not? I mean, seriously, you send them the balloons, you can send them the flowers, and you can send them like the spa thing, you can send them whatever, gift certificate for everything under the fucking sun.
What if we model it after strippers, though, and it's like a naughty nurse that shows up and strips down and is then a therapist?
Yeah, I like
that. It'd be such a bummer.
Except
for some people.
Heavy set. 50-something-year-old Jewish broad is not going to be mistaken
that's
for that.
That's actually my therapist.
What?
Yeah, that's
get
weird.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, how'd you know?
I wish I could stop stereotyping, but every time I do, I'm right. So I can't.
Yeah.
I can never stop. That's my problem.
Have you gotten some like negative conditioning for stereotyping? Have you been wrong?
No, I never. That's like I keep waiting for me to be wrong when I stereotype an ethnicity or group or shrinks or anything like that. But it never happens, and that's my problem. And that's why you have to judge, ladies and gentlemen. You have to. All right, you know about the judge. Speaking of proud black women, every cop show I see has a heavyset black woman as a judge. Is that true in real life? No. One black judge.
In the world?
Well, she's attractive. I like that.
Many years have you been? 8 years.
We got to get her a daytime show. Those women make tons in syndication.
Does he still get to introduce the judge? Isn't that what the bailiff does? Like,
you do.
To, like, announce
so you're
the
like
judge,
crowd
right?
warm. You warm the crowd.
How do you introduce the judge?
Let's get ready to gavel!
Brought to you by Tecate and Budweiser, the king of beers.
Is that kind of a... That's what you should do. You should have your own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
to the 50s watching here.
That's
and
right.
The millions seeing this drawing.
You've seen him on the streets, allegedly.
That's right. Oh, that'd be awesome.
He brings in his flawless conviction record of 82-0.
That's right. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you should really do something custom, something nice. Yeah, I think they'd appreciate that. All right, where the hell were we? We got, Al, did you get anything solved? Are you okay? You feel better at the end?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like when you go once a year,
yeah.
It's like going to the gym once a year.
Yeah, right.
What are you really getting out of it other than like the
yeah.
realization that you should probably go more often?
Yeah, and you don't get to see anyone naked, so it's lose-lose.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but,
okay.
No, it was
all
good.
Right. All right. And you have a shrink back in L.A.?
No, I don't, actually. That's why I go sometimes. I go once a year, and I talk to her on the phone sometimes. So I did have a therapist in California when I lived there, you know, a million years ago. And then when I moved back to California, I thought, this will be great. I'll go to my old therapist.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, wonderfully nostalgic. But
yeah.
then very quickly I realized like 10 years have gone by, and I feel like she still thinks of who I was 10 years ago. This is not funny. It's just personal and true.
I fucked up my whole therapist thing because I did this thing where, you know, like when somebody calls you, you have that window to call them back. And then if that window opens and closes
yeah.
and gets painted shut, it's too long. And now
yeah.
it's weird if you call them back like 3 months later. I told my shrink about 7.5 years ago that I needed to take a couple weeks off for Dancing with the Stars. you'll see a new fit me with and a tan me and a glittered me. I'll be back in about, I'll be, you know, the over under on me is about 3.5 weeks. So, you know, a couple weeks of training and the schedule's going to be crazy. I'll be back in about 5-6 weeks. We'll just pick up where we left off. And then I never went back.
Mm.
And now I don't know what to do because I can't walk in there after 7.5 years and go, I fucking kicked ass on Dancing with the Stars. Like I fucking won everything.
Right.
And then after I won, it just spilled into the next year and I just kept, we don't have a TV, do you? Yeah. I just fucking kept winning.
Yeah.
I just kept winning. I just couldn't. I saw
the seasons are very long. On
yeah,
that
super
show.
Long. Anyway, I rolled an ankle yesterday, so I'm here now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left my unicycle.
Yeah.
It's in the bike rack.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a picture of me on. That's me on Dancing with the Stars.
See,
sorry.
I say, just go in and pretend like only 3 weeks has passed.
Mm.
Just walk in and like. Woof, man, it was a crazy 3 weeks. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, Julian Huff is such a cunt, man. Really. I got to talk about her. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the good thing about therapists is that you can just talk about the fact that you feel weird about that.
Uh-huh.
They love that.
All right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back.
You're not going to go back, right?
No, I am. My wife tells me. By the way.
We all think that, Adam.
I know. You got to get into therapy. And by the way, the marriage bar for therapy. You know what I mean? It used to be you'd have to be just a fucking horrible alcoholic that couldn't stay away from the track. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, I want a divorce. Okay, fine. I'll go to therapy.
Yeah. And you'd just come home and rape the kid with the rolled up racing form, you know, while you're just drinking Jack Daniels out of the fucking bottle and stuff. And now, oh, you're not such a good listener. It's time to get to therapy. You know what I mean? Like, you used to have to earn therapy in a relationship. You know, you have to do some beating and some backhanding and some boozing and some womanizing.
Now
and
they
some
just
coke.
Hand it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it special anymore.
You had to be kind of like maybe like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas. You know, you had to have your guma on the side and be heavily into coke. And, you know, you need to laundry some running guns and booze and drugs and shit. Now it's just like, I think you tune out a little too often. You're going to have to talk to someone about that. And by the way, there's no good answer. Like when people go, I think you should definitely talk to a therapist. You can't go, that's out of the question because I'm perfect. Because all that makes them do is think you need to talk to a therapist
yeah,
more.
Exactly.
There's nothing. It's like you should lose a little weight. No, I should not. No, you can't say it. There's nothing fun, not you. No, I'm saying.
Jesus.
I'm making a joke that your therapist said. Come on,
sweetie.
I know. Don't be defensive.
Joking.
We'll talk about being defensive next year when she comes into your room. Yeah, all right. So where were we? We're going to do some nerd walk. Oh, we have questions?
Yeah.
Questions for me?
Mm-hmm. Audience questions.
Yeah, and we'll do some nerd walking as well.
Tim Mayo from Wilmington, Delamar wanted to know your most racist experience, but I think we just saw
it.
Yeah,
right
with
there.
Wyatt, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Next question.
Blaming the parent, I think, was the...
Where's Kyle Altshuler? Kyle Altshuler.
Mm-hmm.
He's over there. Perfect.
Hold on. David Allen Greer is a good friend of mine. Anyway. You know, we have to work into one black person, you know? Yeah,
Why is he not here?
He'll be here tomorrow night, yes.
Oh, will he?
Tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to come to make sure he shows up.
He'll be here with bells on. I know that sounds racist as well.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All right, Adam. I'm in a serious relationship, and I want to know how to broach the subject of a threesome with my girlfriend and her beautiful friend.
Uh-huh. I take it you're a virgin.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Very funny.
Well, you're only is your gal pal here?
No.
Just your doofus dude friends there.
Most likely.
By the way, this guy's drinking red wine. Really, you do not look like you drink red wine. You don't have that. Yeah. You don't look like Ernest or Julio Gallo. You look like a guy who drinks beer out of a helmet.
I've done that too, yeah.
That wine glass is dwarfed in that giant mitt of yours. What? How'd you get on to red wine? Did someone cut you off? That's a weird thing for you to be drinking.
I used to hang out at bars a lot, and it was, you know, what do we have left over?
I got on red wine. But yeah, it seems like it takes like a couple of boxes to really get your buzz going.
Friends, he was my friend.
It's weird. He looks like a young Mike Golick.
Yeah, he does.
He's just... drinking a glass of wine, like he's in Sonoma.
Yeah, like you seem like a guy who would funnel wine. Like you'd get like a wine bong funnel it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, all right. Your hand's going to crush that glass. I feel like you need some aluminum in your hand. That's not going to work. All right. So where was I? Oh, the threesome. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the only way the threesome works, I think. But you guys stop me. Yeah, it's definitely... It's hard to... Don't discuss it during the daylight hours when everyone's sober, number one. Number two, it will work if your gal wants to experiment. Like, if she's looking for an excuse, you know what I mean, to eat a little pussy, but needs a cock around to make it okay. You know what I mean? Like, a towel bar to hang on to when you're throwing up.
So it's me.
You cock could be that towel bar. That's what I'm saying.
I would love to be.
You hold her hair out of the way. She dives into that pussy. So if she has no... So that's the whole thing. But now this is a double-edged cock. Because if she says... If she's like, oh, fuck, Tammy? Yeah, fuck yeah, I'm in. That means she's, you know, half lesbo. You know what I mean?
Which is fine.
It's fine now.
Well. I'm not married.
You're not going to marry her?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's good that you're saying this.
It's good that you're saying
this on something that's being recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. You understand there's not a guy drawing a picture of this.
Yeah.
This is
right to the show a week after this, like your girlfriend hears this, and let's see if she's still your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or if she and Tammy have moved in together.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's fine.
Thank you. Next question. Oh, wait. I got a question for Rusty. Rusty. Yeah, everyone's got to call you Rusty. Now, off-duty cops are required to carry their gun with them, right?
No.
No? Oh, we got a cop over here. Or someone who's been shot by an off-duty cop. or escaped from an off-duty... Uh-oh, it's a brother. Yeah. This could turn racial again.
He raised his hand.
He's got my book. Yeah. All right. No, are you an off-duty cop?
Yes,
you are. Okay. And because if you were on duty, you would be very casually dressed. that would not pass muster if you were on duty. So you're an off-duty cop. Now, I think in L.A., they always... Oh, you know what? This is interesting. Maybe they just tell everybody off-duty cops are required to carry their guns, so you think twice about robbing the 7-Eleven with the guy who's not
in
uniform around.
It's like the cop version of Bears.
Right.
Right. How...
The gay thing, or...
No, that if you see a bear, you're supposed to just lay down and play dead, which just makes you an easy target for a bear.
Yeah, I think bears started is what you're saying. Okay. Bears are like, we're fucking tired of chasing people around. Spread the word. If you do encounter one of us, you want to go ahead and take off any metallic objects, belt buckles, contact lenses, glass frames, things
roll
like that.
Roll yourself in honey.
Roll yourself in mayonnaise and honey and just lay motionless. Don't worry. We're not going to eat you. Yeah. All right. Oh, sorry. We have an off-duty police officer over here. Oh, I saw you before the show, right?
Of course.
And so you're not required to carry your gun.
No, IB is so thorough that a lot of cops are paranoid about carrying their weapons over me.
I mean, thoroughly
paranoid. Like, cops will tell me, I tell them, carry your weapon. You never know what's going to happen. You live in New York. And someone will say, well, I only work in New York. And I go, oh, so they don't do home robberies in West Bubblefuck or Orange County.
Right.
You know? But they're so paranoid because people will accuse you. And IAB, Internal Affairs Bureau, they investigate everything. They don't play around.
Right.
So there is no,
these guys just don't want to carry their gun. If let's just say they make their home in Bubblefuck. I'm not from around here.
It's near East New York.
It's here. It's east.
Does
the subway go there? I could get out there. I might get out there tomorrow after Bubblefuck just to kick some tires. Check it out.
Oh, they got a great park.
They got a great park.
Yeah, no grass. It's just concrete, and it's really just like a guy named Park.
You don't want to have your piece on you because you could get into trouble. Next thing you know, Internal Affairs. Although I've seen enough movies to know that Internal Affairs is a super hot chick in a form-fitting pantsuit.
And she means business.
Yeah, she means she's all business, but she's hot, too. Now, are they not as good looking?
We call them the rat squad.
Okay. So you don't have to carry your piece.
No.
All right.
I don't play around. I live in New York. I'm not walking around without being, you know.
And
he is carrying his.
Oh, you are carrying yours. All right. Hey,
don't give it to Adam.
Can you walk me back to my hotel after the show?
My pleasure.
I'll sign your book.
My pleasure.
And what kind of piece? What do you got there? Glock?
Off-duty Glock 26, on-duty Glock 19.
Ooh, I like that. What's the difference? Besides the, seven of something.
Off-duty is about an inch shorter.
Uh-huh.
They call it a baby Glock in the streets. The on-duty is about an inch longer.
Uh-huh.
But they're both lightweight.
Uh-huh.
Very lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
Good Austrian construction.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I've heard Mexico makes the best guns, but you're saying Germany or Austrian. And do you carry a piece, Rusty? Okay, all right. Yeah, I would say if they had that thing where the judge was like, listen, the bailiff needs to carry a gun, I'd be like, carry your gavel then, bitch. See how it goes. You know what I mean?
In a special gavel holster.
Yeah.
And she could pull it out and flip it around.
Yeah.
Take someone's eye out.
Yeah. All right, I like that. So you're packing. I had a couple ideas to slow down crime. You guys could use this out here, too. I thought it would work in L.A.
Central Bubblefuck.
I said, take all the homeless people and give them cop uniforms. Because it would look like you had a very strong police presence.
You're right. Martial law.
Like, hey, look at that cop. He's vomiting into a dumpster. But still, there's a cop sleeping. I'm not going to rob that place. He's laying right in front of the door.
Yeah.
Fuck it. This place is lousy with cops.
I know it looks like a pile of newspapers and pigeons, but there's a cop asleep under there.
Is a cop allowed to have a dog with a bandana on?
Right.
It doesn't seem right to me. But
and
either way, there'd be no
cart.
Crime.
Right.
The homeless would be warm. They'd happily take the cop outfits.
Oh, they'd love it.
Yeah, you give like a styrofoam Glock. You know, don't make it a 19 or a 26. Make it like a, don't
a
go above
7.
15.
A
yeah,
7.
Yeah.
No, I'd go a Glock
single
7.
Single digits. Glock 7.
A Glock 4.
Yeah,
is
Glock
that a baby
4.
A baby Glock?
Baby
that
Glock.
That sounds cute.
That's a preemie. That's a preemie Glock.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
I believe in the rights of fetal Glocks.
Mm-hmm. And where, I don't want to get too personal, but... In the back, do you keep it in the back thing here? Do you got the back holster
You're a
thing?
Genius.
Yes?
That's why I listen to everything you say. You're a genius.
That's right in the small...
But is that like a gun tramp stamp?
Although it's got to be tough because, you know, in every good movie I see where the guy has to show the other guy his gun, like when you're looking at the thug, when you're looking at the enforcer, you know what I mean? He just does that move where he just lifts up one flap right. of his shirt and he gives you a little shot of the thing tucked into his waistband. You got to turn all the way around. By then, the guy could hit with a bottle right. or something. And also, you could be sending a mixed message, like, what's this guy presenting?
Right.
I'm not going to fuck you in the ass. Listen, no. I don't... Yeah.
Well, the worst is if you are the guy who was showing his gun up front and you forgot your gun at home, then right. you're just showing somebody your belly. And it seems like then you are inviting them to then turn around
yeah.
and present to you.
Yeah, and you'd have to do it real quick because you'd have to go, see this gun I got here? Yeah. yeah, as you're looking down. It's
you're just showing off an appendix scar
yes,
at that point.
Yes, that's right. All right, well, good. I feel safe now. If somebody, but if I tell another racial joke, just fire a warning shot. Don't go.
You should
just go aim
jokes,
high.
You should have right. some of the jokes we make.
Aim high.
Like New Year's Eve where we live.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where we have, yeah, you know
Bullets
you're living.
Rain on you.
LA's great because every time the 4th of July or New Year's Eve run around, we have to have all these ads like, please do not fire your gun into the air because the bullet will.
Right,
eventually
gravity applies
land.
To bullets as well.
Yes, it will land on somebody.
That was also Texas. That was,
oh, they do that in Texas
too? Oh, that's
too?
Huge in Texas. We'll just shoot a gun in the air in Texas
yeah.
for anything. Like
You'll
Dallas
celebrate.
Is back on TV. Bang a bang a bang!
Yeah. I did catch part of the first episode in my room when I was in my refractory period yesterday, actually.
How was it?
It was good. JR's holding up nice. Patrick Duffy still got all his hair. You know, it's gone silver now, but it still works. Ewing's are still going strong. I think if I had a saloon back in Old West days and, you know, I had some sort of burlesque show and it went really well and everyone pulled their guns out and started firing it in the air, at first I'd be pissed because I'd be like, that lighting fixture is fucking expensive,
yeah.
number one. Number two, upstairs are whores, by the way. That's
right.
where the whores are. And if they don't need fucking bullets flying through
yeah.
their whore rooms,
right.
you know. They're trying to blow, you know, ranchers and
yeah.
shit. And they
right,
don't need you
like,
firing your shit through
do
there.
Do you have a fetish for whores with eight toes?
Yeah, because that's what
your
we're going to have.
Day.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to blow off some whore toe.
A real toe job.
All right. Well, should we do a little nerd walking?
Yes.
I don't know where it, yeah. You guys can help us play along with this one. Let me give a little love to one of our sponsors, by the way, since it is a live podcast. You understand we have sponsors. GoToMeeting. Yeah. When you travel like we do, you got to use GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix. You got the webcam. It's hooked right into the laptop there, or it's hooked right into the pad, your tablet, your iPad. You just download the GoToMeeting app, and you can try it for free. 45 days free. A free trial. It's insane, right? 45 days.
What?
Almost a month and a half. Only if you use the promo code Adam. Visit gotomeeting.com. Click on the try it free button and use the promo code Adam. All right. Now, some nerd walking. Yes.
Yes.
We have that? All right. This is... Now, what we had is Gary, Halftard Gary, from the podcast. He went out to the E3, and the big electronics convention over there in L.A., and he talked to some nerds. So what you see behind me is the person he was speaking to. Wow. How fast did your vagina dry up, by the way, Allison, seeing this guy? Did it just...
Yeah, I'm like a Barbie just... doll right now.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that I ever even had a vagina opening.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to pee later.
I'll find it. All right, so he asked the question. We had the recording, and we'll guess whether the nerd knows the question or
okay.
knows the answer
All
or
right.
not. All right? All right, here we go.
Who is Roger Goodell?
Who is Roger Goodell? All right. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Well, Brian?
It's in L.A. We don't even have a football team out there, so I say no way. He doesn't know.
Does not know. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Allison, what do you think?
I don't think he knows either. But who's keeping... Are we scoring or no?
Yes, we're scoring.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we have the super drunken guy with the crazy hair. Keep track. Because that the best talliers in the world are drunken
right. No,
dudes.
No, it's true.
Yeah. All right. So you say no?
I say no.
Why? You have a thought?
I'm going to say no, he doesn't know.
All right, I'm going to say no on this one as well. We all go, audience, what do you guys think? All right, we all say no. Let's see.
Who is Roger Goodell?
Rock star.
Good. All right. All right, we're all up. We're all up one. All right, here we go. Round number two.
What event is up? I'm a big fan of the band Goodell.
Yes.
Oh, they've got some great music.
Yeah, they're awesome.
That one song, Concussion. Too soon.
All right, here we go.
What event is held yearly in Sturgis, South Dakota?
Allison, you got to look.
Well, see, sometimes I do.
You use your own feminine mind as a yardstick to measure the gay mind.
But these are nerds.
This ain't gay walking.
Because I do that with gay walking.
Although gays
kind of
and nerds,
similar.
I feel like they're hatched out of the same nest.
So
I really do.
Yeah, I mean, brothers from a different mother. I'm going to say no.
Chicks, nerds, and gays. A lot of the same. A lot of common ground there. Brian, true. you say no.
The Sturgis thing appeals to collectors, and nerds at heart are collectors. So yes, he'll know.
Wow, bald Brian. What? You know what goes on in Sturgis?
Yeah, big bike rally.
Okay, don't scream.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry.
I mean...
I'm just... you're from New
York.
Look,
right, no, but
comedian.
I learn about your culture. The least you can do is learn about mine. Yeah.
Okay. Listen. First off, show the picture of me and Henry or James Boyd from back in Pop Warner football days, just to show you I'm down with the brothers.
Henry or James?
It's hard.
You don't even know which one.
They were twins. It's hard to tell those folks apart.
Which folks, twins or black
people?
You
know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Come on. I didn't come out here to be attacked. Look at me. Come on. Look, come on. Tell me. I used to go to Henry or James Boyd's house
right.
And
are you taking credit for his rushing trophy there? What's going on? What's going on there?
You know what? Just because
we did it together. No, we didn't. I ran.
All right. Well, first off,
you pushed a fat kid out of the way.
Hold on.
And I jumped over.
Now, who's stereotyping, my brother? Because. Just because there's a pasty white kid with a Jufro next to a kid who looks like Emmett Smith, that does not mean he took the rushing title. But in this case, he did. Yes, of course. Yeah, but that not every time, and that's why you cannot judge.
Right, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that was me and that's us in Sun Valley, California, by the way. Nice name, horrible neighborhood in like 1972.
And that was a very funny Wyatt Cenac. I know him from The Daily Show, and Gio just informed me that he also had a short-lived sitcom.
It was on a TBS show about people abducted by aliens.
Oh, no. Oh, is it People of Earth?
Yes, it was People of Earth.
Oh, nice. Okay. Anyway, love him. That was a really funny live show. And, of course it got a little awkward.
Offstage, did he care at all? Did he leave bummed? I hope he didn't leave bummed.
No, he was actually very, very nice. And that was a fun trip. It was good hanging with you that year, Gio.
Who could really get mad? I'd be like, this is a stereotype at all. But if Adam said that about me, I'd just laugh. I don't know. I think it's funny.
Yeah. So that's the thing about comedians is they have a sense of humor. So they can they can hang and they understand.
We both have original deadbeat dads, so we know.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and it's a Rotten Tomatoes game, the 34th one ever played. And what's the theme, Gio?
It's a certain actor, guy, he's a writer, director, he's a raccoon. I can't think of his name. Inside the actor's studio, he was in the audience, then he was remembered. It's Bradley Cooper. Everybody knows it's Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper themed edition of the Rotten Tomatoes game. Adam Carolla Show, 1490. Joe Beth Williams, Matt Atchity, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. This is just Matt Atchity in the game from January 2015.
Let's do a little Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds good.
All right.
Before we get started, I have a question for you.
Mm.
Because I've been wanting to ask you all this week. Have you seen the new Ford GT, and what do you think?
Yes. And it's amazing. I just found out it had a 3.5 twin turbocharge
600
V6 in it that's got horsepower in it, 600 horsepower, and I think they're going to Le Mans.
This year they'll be racing.
Back to Le Mans, Ford shall go. So,
have you seen the version in the Gulf livery?
No.
The mock-up? It looks good.
Not seen the famous blue and orange Gulf livery. Real quick, I'll just get rid of Tim. Tim! Oh, good.
Took rid of himself.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Beautiful car. Go ahead.
Oh, Adam, explain the game to not only Gina, but maybe a new listener.
Sorry.
I got this. I'm excited.
Sorry. Matt gives the critic score, not the top critics, just the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. We try to guess. He picks the theme. We do five, and whoever has the lowest, like a golf score, added up at the end, wins the game. All right.
Since American Sniper is opening in wide release this week, we're going to go with Bradley Cooper movies. So first up, a movie from 2005 where he was mostly a supporting part, played kind of the villain against Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. The movie is Wedding Crashers, 2005.
Just watched this the other day.
Talk about rewatchable.
Easily, you can pick up wherever you start off in that movie, and Vince Vaughn is just fucking excellent in that movie. I like Owen Wilson, but Vince Vaughn, when he really puts it on comedically,
he's doing
can really
his Vince Vaughniest.
put it on. That was a movie that was just really funny. Will Ferrell like thing with the man,
pancakes
and all that stuff. Funny. I'm not sure it's like kind of a critic's darling, but. We always talk about Meatloaf.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I just remember it being dinner or something. But either way.
You're a homo.
We always talk about this, Brian. Did that movie achieve what it set out to accomplish?
Knocked it out of the park.
Yes. In terms of what it wanted to do, did it do it?
Absolutely. Maybe it was one of the best comedies of that year or any of the years around it. It did exactly what it wanted to do.
I am going to say 84%.
I said 88. I think it should be in the 90s, but it's a little bawdy for the critics.
Whoa, I really lowballed these guys. Maybe it's because I'm not a dude. I didn't think people loved it as much as you did. 72%.
Gina starts strong, 75%.
Whoa!
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is one of those movies where, you know, you see the critics have it at 75, the audience has it at 70. You kind of want to pull everyone aside and go, compared to what?
Yeah.
What Adam fucking Sandler movie? What Jackie Chan and Chris whatever movie? Like, what are you watching?
I love Chris whatever.
Yes. But how many fucking, how many movies with this many out loud laughs? What are you going in?
Christopher Walken's great in this movie. This is
Jane Seymour is hilarious in this.
Everything is, you know, tons of great scenes and a funny premise to start with, like one of those, oh, this is a wild premise, but I buy it completely.
Let's play Tummy Sticks. It's a great movie.
Oh, that scene where he's like, tied down to the bed. And what the? Okay. All right. Here we go.
Gina, starting out strong.
All right.
Next up, 2009 finds Bradley Cooper with Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover. Now, to be clear, this is the first one, not the other two.
Yes, the first one. I think the critics like this one. I think with Wedding Crashers, some of the critics just went, I can't. This is not the kind of movie I can give a good rating to. But for some reason, I think Zach Galifianakis gives you the okay to do this movie and give it a better grade.
Yes, but
because
this was before he was Zach Galifianakis.
I know. That's the point. He had some hipster credibility.
Okay.
In that world. Okay. He had a little alt cred. I'm going to go 89.
I lowered it. It said 83.
I said 85. This was a cult hit, I think, right away.
79.
Yeah. Mm. The critics were late on this one.
Huh.
Wow.
I'm surprised.
All right. We're a little high.
All right, that same year found Bradley Cooper working with Sandra Bullock in the romantic comedy All About Steve.
Oh. Didn't see it. Oh. What, she's a news anchor? Oh, the fuck.
He's a cameraman. She is like she's makes crossword puzzles and has this obsessive relationship where she's chasing him down and wanting to date him. And
Hey, speaking of Selma, Common just picked up his Golden Globe for the soundtrack. In terms of giving yourself a rap name, doesn't that seem like kind of pretty low self-esteem?
Yeah.
A big guy being tiny.
Common. Rap is all about bravado.
Yeah, call himself tiny is at least ironic. Common is neither here nor there. It doesn't feel like there's much to
Adam, his first name is Un.
Did not know that. I was just thinking about it and go, I wouldn't come up, you know, I'd come up with wide cock bitch or something like that, you know, something. I'd eventually get down to initials, you know what I mean? But I'd give myself something. But, you know, like your Snoop Dogs and your things like that, and you're big, and even your Chuck D's or whatever. I get it, but Common.
But isn't Common kind of the people's rapper? He's not like a flashy dude. He's like more of like a spoken word type.
Right.
Leans
he
that
represents
way.
The common man.
But maybe he should call himself Camry. You know, it's Camry. Like a super well-selling car.
Taurus.
Well, hey, that car is going to last a long time. It's very durable. Yeah. Good resale value on it.
He was laughing after the odometer hits 100,000.
That's right. Seat 5, very safe. If you check the safety. That's my whole point. It just feels like...
I'll talk to him about it next time he's in here.
I'm going to ask him.
Common,
why?
What's up?
What's up with Common? I don't know what his real name is, but you got to... It started off as Common Sense. Even then, now it's getting worse. I just play it safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
His real name is
Thomas Paine?
No shit.
Lonnie Rashad Lynn Jr. is his real name.
Lonnie.
Common's better than Lonnie.
Sideways.
I don't know.
Do you like Lonnie better?
Common is better than nothing.
At least there was a Lonnie
What is
Smith.
Common? I mean, I bet you have a context for it, but what I'm saying is someone just came up to you and said, if Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier came up to me and said, I am starting a rap persona, like I'm getting out of destroying bathrooms and getting into the rap world.
Boom.
And I said, good, what's your name? And he said, Common. I'd be like, I don't even know what that means. I'm not saying it doesn't. Eminem's like, well, Marshall Mathers. All right. I mean, there's something. I think you know Common. You have too much in common with Common.
Right.
But I'm saying if you just not known to anybody, just never heard it before, I'm starting my rap career and I'm calling myself Common, I'd say, you know what? Why don't you sit down with a scratch pad and come up with something better.
Which is more question marky in your head, Common or Most Def?
Well, there's the part where...
Questlove.
But here's the whole thing. You can be confusing, weird, and whatever, and you got the word deaf, like Deaf Comedy Jam and all that kind of stuff in there, and Questlove and all that kind of stuff. You can be, that's all part about Common. Common is, it's fish nor fowl.
Yes, Most Deaf is the most deaf.
Right, most deaf. Most definitely.
As Rick Rubin would say, it's neither, is he the fat one?
Rick Rubin is fat.
It's neither fish nor fowl to me. It just it doesn't move anything. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's just nothing.
Okay.
It's Common.
Right.
You can't pull your head out of Common.
I know.
But I'm saying
too cool in my mind.
If Max Zapata, you play music, right? And now you want to start rapping, and now you try to tell me your name is Common. I would attempt to talk you out of it. Yes.
Thanks.
All right. You know what? I'd go with you. I'd go mini pad with you.
Light flow.
I'm not sure that's better.
Not maxi.
Anything is better. Common is zero.
Yeah. Common's baseline.
It's right. It's right. It doesn't mean anything.
It might as well be amateur.
That's right. Here we go. I'm saying I still take amateur. Self-deprecating. All right. Where are we?
All About Steve.
Oh. What's that have to do with Common?
Let's play some games.
Oh, Rick Ross. Yeah. I said Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin was a little heavy.
Yeah, they're both
heavy. Yeah, but I'm thinking
Rick Ross.
Yeah,
is
Rick
fat.
Ross. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what this fucking movie is. I'm going to go 29.
Gina?
I was a little more optimistic, 49, even though I don't remember it at all.
This is one of the worst movies ever made. I said 18, and it might be high.
That is high. It's 7.
Yeah. Oh!
Oh!
I was generous.
Brian just fucking hit it out of the park.
This was the movie that Sandra Bullock showed up and accepted her Razzie Award in person
good for
the
her.
Day before she won the Oscar.
Good for her. For The Blind Side?
For The Blind Side, yeah.
Oh, man.
She showed up with DVDs of this movie and handed them out to the audience.
That's awesome.
This is a mentally ill character. She thinks that J.K. Simmons' character is mentally ill in Whiplash.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No, he's just an asshole.
Oh, yeah. God.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Well, I don't think he's mentally ill.
Really?
No.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, unless all assholes are.
No, well, we might be able to have a conversation about
that's
that.
A whole other story.
Well, that was basically my explanation. You'd have to throw every asshole on TV. No, but I mean, the lead in the TV show House,
sexiest, best.
He'd have to throw him out too. They're all Columbo.
Ooh,
they're all gone. They all have mental illness. I mean, that's right, TV. Okay. Yeah. Half the cast of Friends.
Yes.
I just feel like if
and
you...
And Seinfeld.
Many exceptional characters.
But
yes.
If you see this movie in particular, I feel like I might be able to persuade you a little, but
all right.
We'll see.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Next up, 2011, Bradley Cooper teamed up with one of his acting favorites, someone that he considers a mentor, Robert De Niro. The movie is Limitless.
Oh. Mm. Is that where they took pills to make you smart?
Yep.
No limit.
Okay. I have no idea, and I'm going to go 33.
Gina?
63.
I saw this movie. I'm going for the exacto here because it's actually really good, 75%.
Oh, it's really good.
70.
Oh!
It's not really good. It's really, really better than you think it's going to be.
That's what I was going to say.
It's an above-average movie and way better than you think.
Never saw it, so that fucked me. All right, Brian's out to commanding lead. Here we go.
All right, last up, 2012 Academy Award nominee, first time team up with Jennifer Lawrence. This is Silver Linings Playbook.
Ooh, speaking of good, you never have to see again.
Yeah.
Watched it the other night.
Speaking of mental illness.
Yeah, literally. Didn't glorify it, though.
This movie, I got off. This movie, when he walked out at the beginning after taking his medication, spit it out, and they had to do a tight cutaway of it sitting on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Bad call. Yeah. I saw he spit it out. I knew I got the deal. I didn't need to be hit over the head with it. There's never any part of this movie where I ever cared. Like time I tune in, I just watch 12 minutes and I go, oh, I don't care. That's only my only thought with this movie.
And I remember almost nothing specifically from it. It's not a memorable
movie.
No,
the only thing I remember is guys I know a lot about sports saying De Niro screwed up.
The Eagle stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I remember.
I know I was supposed to like it a lot. That's what I know.
Was this the lost in transition of the last 10 years or something?
I think it's a little better. But
lost in translation.
Along those lines. Which is a movie that's not kind of very
you
memorable.
Were definitely supposed to like Silver Linings Playbook. People told you to like it.
Yeah.
Didn't care a second in this entire movie.
Wasn't cool to say you didn't like it.
Trying to win this game, so I'm going for 97.
Hmm.
I said 89.
I said 81.
92.
Whoa!
Yeah. But then again, there's the audience, 86. No, not a big drop off, but lower than the critics. This is one of those movies that I didn't watch it soup to nuts. I started to watch it and then went, why am I watching it?
Like, I got things to do.
Well, I got 25 minutes in and I realized I have no interest in this movie. And then I kept checking back with it because assholes force you to check back with these movies that you don't really like that much.
You can
much.
Say assholes like me.
Assholes. Okay. And then you watch them and you keep watching them and you go, when is this thing going to turn into the thing that the asshole said it was? And it never did. It just kind of...
So the dancing didn't light a fire under you?
Oh, that's right. The dancing was so bad.
A lot of dancing.
Just didn't...
Yeah, but it was supposed to be bad.
No, not the dancing quality. The decision to end the movie with the dancing.
Oh, is that how it ended?
Yeah.
I didn't know it ended.
I forgot about that.
Water ballet.
Mm.
Little Miss Sunshine, a lot of these movies end poorly with dancing. Actually, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But still.
It's the art house version of sports movies. I think this movie's funny. I like this movie.
All right.
But I come from a family where like the ridiculous superstitions about betting happened in my family. So that stuff, like, he'd get when De Niro would get so mad about Bradley Cooper not being there to watch the game because that meant the Eagles were going to lose. Mm-hmm. I grew up in that house. So
well,
I totally get that.
It's very interesting that there are four people in this room. We all were told we should love this. Three of us didn't give a shit about it, but one does, but he has a personal sort of connection to it. And that's, but by the way, that's fine.
Maybe that's what touches some people.
And it's interesting that you said you liked the movie and the reason was because you thought it was funny. Because a lot of people are like, oh, it was really compelling, it was really touching, but the comedy aspect for you was the thing that hooked you. Yes.
All right, I'm going to give you guys the final score first. DraftKings.com, season-long fantasy football league. It's a teaser, man. Still plenty of action every week at DraftKings.com. Baldy, how are you doing?
Good. If I was half as good at DraftKings.com as I was at the Rotten Tomatoes game, I'd be cleaning up. But
oh my
like
God.
I said, four teams left this weekend. So if your pick is Daniel Boom Heron, you know, you're not going to go with all the other running backs. That's your guy. Better make it work this week.
Dave from Boston won $1 million in one day. So did Matt from Florida and Ray from New Jersey. DraftKings crowned a new millionaire nearly every week this entire season. And let's not forget about other contests. It's not all football, everybody. Hockey. College Pro Hoops, DraftKings, Dawson.
Head to DraftKings.com now and use code Adam to play free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Adam for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry, buddy.
Now, I'm guessing Brian may have cleaned up pretty good on this one. Adam, 83. Brian, 36. Gina Grad, 69.
Yeah.
God, I screwed the fucking pooch on this one.
Nestled right in between you two.
Yeah, Brian usually wins. Rotten or fresh. Please tell me, somebody tell me why in Little Miss Sunshine. Steve Carell had to have his fucking long sleeve shirt rolled up in the middle of Yuma in the middle of summer to show off his attempted suicide gauze.
Because you as the audience wouldn't remember that he tried to commit suicide.
I think you just answered your own question.
Why did he go into the convenience? How come everyone else wore short sleeve shirts because they were in fucking Yuma in August? But he wore long sleeve shirts and then was embarrassed when he walked into the convenience store and saw his ex-lover. Oh, you're going to see my Chippendale cuffs.
But he was the classy Proust scholar. He needed to show you he was different from the rest of the family.
He only owned those shirts.
Yeah.
That movie was such an overrated piece of fucking shit. That fucking scene.
It's a young Paul Dano right there.
Everyone else is either wearing a t-shirt or Tommy Bahama. Yeah. Is it Tommy?
It is.
I think so. I got my Rick
Rubens. Don't knock the Tommy Bahama.
I'll say, Matt, you're out of character.
Carell went full Brooks Brothers.
Carell went long sleeve all throughout the film with them cuffed up to show off his suicide attempt that he was embarrassed by.
Yep. The audience needed to know.
This audience member did not need to know that. And that fucking scene when they're in their fucking diner and that little chick was ordering ice cream for breakfast. And the she was like, I'm ordering ice cream for breakfast. And Greg Kinnear was like, sweetie, if you want to win beauty contests, you shouldn't order ice cream for breakfast. And everyone else on the at the table and us as the audience was supposed to come down with everyone else at the table. No, you're not supposed to eat ice cream for breakfast. And if you are going to be in swimsuit competitions, you're not supposed to eat ice cream, especially when you're chubby already as a 9-year-old. We were supposed to push up against Greg Kinnear's character. Greg Kinnear was the only character that had it right at the table. He was considered like Squaresville because he was trying to work and like do shit. Then you had the other guy. Oh, he was going to be a fighter jock. The fucking goth kid that never stopped pouting.
Paul Dano.
Yeah.
That fucking kid? Are you kidding me? You think he's going through basic training?
Yeah, they're
going
to shave his head, make him a man.
Oh. He finds out he's colorblind. What the fuck was that movie about? That was the guy whose dream it was to be a fighter jock? That guy? The guy who gave a vow of silence for no reason? It was never discussed. It was never really explained.
It was a character quirk.
Not talking.
Don't apologize for him.
Do you, by the way, what do you think they do? Get into, have them audition and then just go, all right, you got the
look
part,
sullen.
But you're not talking? Yeah. Can you walk in with sides with nothing on
right,
them?
Right. What do you read?
Like, that
can you
kid,
just be silent?
In terms of this guy wants to go ROTC or fly F-18s and be a tail hooker, could not be further away from that guy than that guy.
That guy in real life, yeah.
Who was that?
Every character had their quirk. Every character had their thing.
It was a quirky indie
film. It's a fucking overrated movie.
And speaking of overrated weirdo Steve Carell movies, did anyone else see Seeking a Friend for the End of the World?
I did.
What'd you think? With Keira Knightley and Steve Carell?
Shit. If I saw it, I don't remember much about it.
Perfect.
Which is maybe a bad sign.
All right.
That's the one where the world's going to end.
It was terrible. Yeah. All right.
Saw Foxcatcher.
Yeah? That's a heavy film you don't have to see again.
Yeah, but I didn't... Surprisingly enough, didn't feel I would see that one again over Birdman.
Okay.
Just because Birdman, I just felt like we're doing lap after lap after lap inside a theater.
And Foxcatcher was really impressive, the acting. I mean, I guess the cliche we all hear and probably all hate is, oh, I forgot I was watching, fill in the blank.
Right.
You know,
but
I really did forget I was watching Steve Carell.
And I actually have seen it three times.
It's pretty
well,
good.
There you go.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, speaking of mental illness.
Thank you.
All right.
And that was a Rotten Tomatoes game, Bradley Cooper themed round. Man, I can't believe we were able to give a whole round to Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like he's done that many movies.
Back in 2015.
Yeah, okay, that's a little more fair. But still, he, you know, Hangover, everything was kind of popping there for him.
Yeah.
It's on and popping. It's early Bradley Cooper. We're almost copping real time to the Rotten Tomatoes game. I mean, we're several years off, but if we keep pumping these out, we could probably get caught up somehow.
I know. I'm a little worried to get caught up because we're going to have to start doing some repeats in the current games, and I don't want to give anybody an edge because they listen to classics.
I think there's enough movies you guys don't ever have to repeat, but I feel like that's a lazy excuse.
You would be surprised.
I don't know how many movies are.
Our master list is... Well, think about it. We have six movies in an episode because one we have to have as a tiebreaker just in case. And movies don't get released on that often.
I've never heard the Red, White, and Blue trilogy brought up. Like half the Criterion releases, I've never heard you guys go over. I feel like I come
That's
up
our
a
next
lot
game.
Of movies.
All right. That'll do for Corolla Classics. The Adam Carolla Show returns tomorrow with a Rotten Tomatoes game. I wonder what it could be about. Anyway, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back Saturday. See you then. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.